Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Okay, as you make your way back to your seat, as I said earlier in the announcements, we have something very special planned for you today. I want you to know that we are going to see a live performance from Pastor Corbin's old band called Mass Confusion. Okay, and they were the greatest band to ever play at Newark High School in the year of 2000. And they are coming here today. They wrote a special song, particularly for Vision Sunday. And this song is actually really awesome. So please, if you would, put your hands together and enjoy this song from Mass Confusion.
See a vision, oh, I see a vision. Out in the future, way out in the future. Oh, I see a vision away off in the night. Yeah. Yeah, I see a vision. Oh, I see a vision. Out in the future, way out in the future. I see a vision. Oh, I see a vision away off in the night. Yeah.
All right, all right.
Well, we wanted to do something a little bit different for Vision Sunday. We want a little bit of excitement and, apologize, but that is what you get, right? So that is my band from high school, and we were called Mass Confusion back then. And I would say we might be a little bit like more than Mass Confusion this time, but it's pretty awesome. It was fun that we were able to do that. So I want to give a huge thanks to my friends DJ, who actually wrote that song and played guitar and sang as well. And then my friend Justin, who jumped on the drums there as well. Now, some of you guys are probably thinking, like, what just happened, right? Like, I did not expect to go to church and see that. Like, that's not typical, right? You're thinking, like, man, I think I heard the word vision in that song, but does that go in there? But it does. So let me just kind of tie this in and give you a little personal story before we jump in. But a couple months ago, I've actually been preparing for this Sunday for a couple of months now. Been ready for this, kind of been amped for this. And when I started planning, when I started thinking about Vision Sunday, it was about the same time where Justin and DJ and I started jamming again together. So DJ intros this song called Vision. I'm like, I jumped all over it. Like, I didn't even know really what the lyrics said, but I'm like, you said Vision in there. I want that song and I want to play that January 31st, right? Because I had it circled on there. But really, let me go back a little bit further because it even ties in pretty cool. Because when I was writing this message, when I was putting this all together, I was kind of digging through different things that I felt that God had really shared with me. It's kind of digging through this vision. And God was kind of taking me through this whole process. Like, I was digging through my notes of when we planted this church, which is just over a year ago. So the notes from that were actually over about 2 years ago. That was the whole planning process in that. But I was going through those notes, and God actually even led me a little bit further back, like all the way back to when I first felt called to the ministry. And I'm talking like notes that are old. Like, I was 15 years old, right? And kind of, he led me back to these notes here that I wrote when I was 15 years old, like circa 1997. So, and if what's cool about this is it kind of ties, there's this guy named DJ that was with me when I wrote these notes. So these notes are actually, they were based off of something I wrote when I was in Bolivia. I was on a mission trip. And it kind of goes with this. If you can pull up that slide, I'll show that. But it shows some of what I believe God was calling us for, the vision that we had. The vision that he had for my life at that time. I was 15 years old. And I'm looking at this, and I felt he called me to be a youth pastor. Turns out, that kind of ended a little bit later. Like, I felt like maybe I should be a pastor, because once you get to a certain age, like 8:30 for a youth pastor is when things just begin. 8:30 for me now is like too late to start a movie. So like it changed a little bit. But back in these notes, like I felt called to be a pastor. I felt called to watch over people, right? Then another thing that we wrote down was a Christian radio station. We came back from that meeting and from that mission trip, we came back and it turns out I'd actually didn't listen to Christian music. That was kind of the problem there. We came back and there's like all these radio stations that already existed. So like in radio, you were like, well, that's kind of crazy. We really can't compete with that. But then there was another calling. We were called to make this band. Now, the name I had was Road to Damascus. But as we put the band together, we learned as more as Mass Confusion. But that was kind of the band we were called to do that. Another thing I felt that was called in my life, and kind of the vision for my life, was to be a missionary in a place where I can speak the language. Turns out I speak English, and doesn't go beyond that. So and that's sometimes not even that well. So, you know. But so that's kind of limited me. And then one thing that I loved about going back to this note was this. Show people in my town about Jesus. And that's why we're called to plant a church, right? So we can show people here about Jesus. And then it says, get closer to the Lord, keep my quiet times, and don't fall into the same patterns. But I look at these, and I think these are pretty cool. And I wanted to share a little bit about that. But I really want to share my journey of how I actually got back to 1997. Like how I found these notes from 1997 when I first felt God was calling me. Because these past months, as I'm planning for this, as I'm planning for Vision Sunday, God kind of took me through this journey. Again, I was circling this date for a while. I knew this was coming. I was planning this for in December. But then I kind of felt like God was stirring something up. And then when he kind of changed our, we just came off a series talking about prayer, and he kind of just pointed us to that route. Once he did that, I'm like, oh, we're in trouble for Vision Sunday because God's going to mess with some stuff, right? And he did. But really, my goal, though, in December, I had some stuff written down, like, and I wanted to give you this clear vision. Like, I wanted to tell you where we're going. I want to tell you exactly how we're going to get there, because that's what a good vision is, right? Clear and precise details. Clear direction. That's what a good vision is. So that's where I was going. I was trying to put all this stuff together. Now, again, we're a church plant. So we just have got some things started off here. We're actually renting this building. And we only get in here on Sundays. So I wanted to come up here and tell you exactly where we're going as a church plant. Exactly where we're going even with the building, right? Our lease comes up in May. So I wanted to come up here and tell you, hey, we're staying or we're going. We're doing something. But I wanted to tell you, like, I'm going back to my punk rock roots. I'm thinking, like, the Clash song. Should I stay or should I go now? Yeah, I really want to know. Like, that's where I was at with this. And I wanted you to know as well. So I wanted to share all this with you. So my goal for January was really just to finalize a lot of these details. My goal is to put all these together, just to put a timeline together for, you know, how we're going to grow, what our growth process is going to look like, what our next steps are. Like, are we going to go to two services? When are we going to go to two services? Are we going to go to multi-sites? Are we going to plant other churches? When are we going to do these? I want to give you this perfect timeline and all that. Because, again, I wanted to come up here and I wanted to share this vision with you. I want to give you all the bells and whistles. And I'm looking at this verse that says, where there's no vision, the people will perish. In fact, it's Proverbs 29:18. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. And I'm thinking, like, I don't want anybody to perish, right? I don't want anybody to feel like they're left behind. I don't want to feel like anybody's lost, right? So I'm going to push my vision as hard as I can. I'm going to come up here with these great, amazing plans. I'm going to push my vision so hard. But then I felt God say something. I didn't hear him. I never heard God audibly speak to me. But I felt him just kind of nudge me and say, you know, they're a smart guy. He kind of talks sarcastically to me. That's kind of how I feel it, at least. But I felt like I'm saying, you know, they're a smart guy. That verse that you're reading, that's my vision. I'm talking about my vision there. You know, the guy that wrote Proverbs, yeah, Solomon, the guy that had all this wisdom, he got his wisdom from me. So I'm talking about my vision in that passage of Scripture. I'm not talking about yours. Kind of just dropped my head. Man, God. One of those, like, smack you in the face moments with God, right? We probably had those before. But it's really what led me all the way to 1997. What's led me all the way back to those notes. Because I believe God showed me kind of the roots of where we're going. And I felt like he told me this. And I feel like I'm supposed to share this with you guys today because I think somebody needs to hear this. But this is what I want you to walk away with. Don't confuse your calling. Don't confuse your calling. If you get nothing else, walk away with this. Because the truth is, God has designed each and every one of us in an incredible way so that we can completely fulfill his calling for our life. He's created us and given us a plan that we are supposed to walk through. He has a plan for every single one of us. I mean, we all have different talents. We all have different abilities. I mean, some of you, God's given this a gift where you can use your hands, not just when you're talking, but you can actually use your hands to, like, fix something, right? You can do these incredible things to make something look better and take it from nothing. You can build it up. God's given you that gift, but he wants you to utilize that. He wants you to utilize that for your call. Others, he's given you this incredible ability to just make money, right? He's giving you this incredible ability to be smart and intelligent. He wants you to use that ability for his purpose. Others, he's given us this ability where we can serve. But he wants you to use that for his purpose. And I could go on and on about all these different abilities that we all have. But we're called to use those abilities to fulfill our calling. And the truth is, a calling is not just reserved for the church. There's a calling in the marketplace. There's a calling in your workplaces. There's a calling in your neighborhoods. There's a calling in your homes. You are called to do that. So many times, though, I think we hear this word calling and we feel like it's just for the church, right? And we get confused about that. Maybe that's where you're at right now. In fact, maybe when you hear me say the word calling, it just sounds churchy and uncomfortable. And you're thinking to yourself, like, you know what, dude? Like, I look at numbers all day long. Like, that's clearly not a calling. Like, I'm just crunching paper. I'm just looking at numbers all day long. That's not a calling. Or you're thinking, like, I just sell a commodity. I just sell something every single day, day in and day out. That's not a calling. Or you're thinking, I just clean something up. I'm always cleaning something up, cleaning that mess up, cleaning this mess up. And you're thinking, that's not a calling. Because in our minds, we think that a calling has to make this worldwide impact. But the truth is, a calling is where you're making an impact on your world. And if we consider ourselves a Christian, We are called to full-time ministry. The full-time ministry where we allow Jesus to reign in our world, where we allow Jesus to show himself and to show him to others as well, and we're obedient in everything that he asks us to do. And when we get to this point, this is where we truly find contentment. This is where we truly find the joy that he wants us to experience. See, too many times I think we try to find this contentment in something else. We try to find it in a place, but contentment is not found in a place. It's found in a person, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's found in him because he is the one that calls us. He is the one that leads us to where we are truly supposed to go. But so many times I think we confuse this. We try to find our contentment really, really based on others. We try to find our contentment really based on the acceptance of others. And what we end up doing is we confuse our calling because we're comparing ourselves. We want to do something just like somebody else because we have this distorted view in our mind that they're living something perfect now, right? We have this distorted view in our mind that this other person that we want to live like, they're making a difference and we're not. We think that their life is perfect. But the truth is this. Our calling is not based on imitation. It's based on revelation. See, God has a unique revelation for each and every one of us. God has this thing where he wants to reveal to us exactly what we can do, but we have to be walking in obedience with him. But when we compare ourselves to others, it always leads to a confusion in that call. So let me challenge you. Don't fall in to the comparison trap. And if you walk out understanding this, this will be a relief to you. Because the truth is, everybody's progress is different. We all live life at a different pace. And God's not calling us to live someone else's story. He's calling us to live our story. He's calling us to live the story that he's planned for us. God's not calling us to live someone else's story. We're called to live God's story for our life. And the truth is, God is the only one that knows our story from the beginning to the end. So why do we doubt him? Why do we compare ourselves to somebody else? Comparison will always lead to confusion. And it will always lead to competition. And God's called us to collaborate rather than compete. So let me challenge you, don't confuse your call. And think about if you live this out, right? If we live this out, instead of comparing ourselves to our neighbor, instead of comparing ourselves to our brother-in-law, instead of comparing ourselves to whoever we're comparing ourselves, instead of looking to them and thinking, man, do we measure up to them? What if we instead looked at God and we said, do we measure up to what God has for us? What if we strive for that? That could change things. That could help us just have this sense of peace that we've never had before. Maybe that could help us from jumping to job because we feel like, you know, Joe Smo hasn't made at the XYZ company, so I'm going to go do that. So I'm going to jump from where I am. But God never called you to that position, right? This could help us in our marriages, too. Like, instead of comparing our marriages to others, what if we really looked at our own marriage? Instead of wishing that our husband was like so-and-so, instead of wishing our wife was like so-and-so, what if we accepted what God has placed before us? What if we accepted the fact that our struggles are probably going to be different than the next person? But what if we accepted the fact that our joys are going to be different as well? See, God's called us to be the greatest husband to the wife we have. God's called us to be the greatest wife to the husband we have. What if we live that out? What if we live that out in our financial life, right? Instead of comparing ourselves to others, what if we lived it out and just used everything that God has blessed us with to walk in obedience? Instead of trying to keep up with the Joneses, man, we could just go ahead and we could try to keep up with what God's doing with us, what God's blessed us with. Instead of comparing ourselves to somebody else and thinking, man, I don't make that much, and being all down about it, what if we truly were able to sit in front of God and thank him for everything that he's done? Or maybe instead of feeling guilty for making so much money, maybe instead we could use that to bless others as well. When we live in this place of a clear, defined calling, it's really the sweet spot of life. I mean, sure, there's going to be troubles. Sure, there's still going to be struggles. Sure, there's still going to be things that are going to be kind of messed up, right? But they're not going to rock you off the boat. Don't confuse your call. And if you're at a place where your calling is confused, go back to the basics. Allow God to take you back on that journey to where He first called you to be a husband, to where He first called you to be a wife, to where He first called you to do whatever your job title is, to where He first called you to be a father, a mother, where He first called you to be a part of a church. Go back to that time and place where you didn't have any questions. Like, I mean, if you're here today and you're wondering, like, why did I ever marry this person? You fought on the way to church, right? Listen, it happens. I get it. But you fought on the way to church. You're like, why did I ever marry this person? Go back to that time where you said your vows before God. If you're thinking, like, why am I in this job that I'm at? You're so frustrated. Like, why do we even work at that workplace? Go back to why you pursued that job in the first place. Man, are you called to provide for your family? And God blessed you with that job? If you're wondering, your kids are acting up, maybe you're wondering, like, why did I ever have kids, right? I've been there, trust me, my kids are crazy. But go back to the day they were born, right? Or at least go back before they could talk back to you. Go back to that time. But go back to that. Go back to where God first called you. And then never compare yourself. Don't confuse your call. Now let me apply this a little bit to Life Change Church. Now remember, I was going to come up here, I was going to tell you exactly where we're going, right? I was going to tell you how we're going to get there. I was going to lay out this nice growth pattern. I was going to have this projected timeline of what we can do, all these things that we can do. I was going to tell you how we're going to go to 2 services and beyond, like how we're going to go to our first site church, how we're going to plant other churches. We're going to do all these crazy things, right? And I was going to push my vision so hard. I was so excited for it. I was ready to push this. But there was a couple problems. First, it was my vision. See, that sermon I had planned in December, that sermon that was in my head that I was creating, it was a me-created dream and not a God-created dream. What's crazy is, though, it was actually pretty nice. Like, the growth pattern, it made sense. Like, logically, we could have done these things. Like, I put it out there. Like, we could put it on paper. If we would go through the processes, we could easily make these things happen. But the truth is, if we have it in the bag, then it's not big enough. It's not God-sized. And as a church, we always need to be chasing God-sized dreams. Dreams that we can't even put on paper. And this is what's crazy about this, is that God will never really give us everything we need to complete His vision. We will never be qualified for what He has. His dreams, God-sized dreams, they don't even, like, they're so beyond a paper. They're so big. They're so beyond anything that we can imagine that we are completely not qualified. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've grown up in a church your whole life. I don't care if you've known Jesus since the time you were born. I don't care if you have the whole Bible memorized. A God-sized dream, you are not qualified for. But you are called. And we're all called. We're all called to do that. So problem number one, it was my vision. Problem number two with what I had put together, it was a vision that had been a little bit tainted and a little bit of confusion based on it because it was based on comparison. Like the details I want to give you, they're based on other church plans. They're based on other growth patterns and things that I've taken from other churches, taken from books, taken from all these. Like I want to give you a vision that would make us just fall in line with other churches. But God's not called us to live another church's story. We're called to live God's story for us. So I want to challenge you. As I challenge you to get back to the basics, as I challenge you not to compare yourself and your calling, I'm going to challenge us as a church to do the same thing. So let me ask you, what are we called to do? At Life Change Church, what are we called to do? The truth, most of us know this answer. Like even if you're a first-time guest today, you probably heard Corey already say it. But we're called to love people to life. Love people to that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And listen, I can't tell you the growth pattern. I can't tell you exactly if we're going to stay or go in May. I can tell you we're going to exist as a church and we're going to be here and we're going to be a place where people can be loved to that growing relationship with Jesus. But I can't tell you exactly the details of it. I can't tell you when we're going to multi-services. I can't tell you when we're going to multi-sites. I can't tell you when we're planting our first church. Like, I don't know these details, and I'm going to be honest, it drives me completely nuts. But I do know this. I do know there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus. I do know there's a lot of people who have a bad taste for church. I do know there's a lot of people who have walked away from church and thus walked away from God as well. I do know there's a lot of people who do not have hope. I know there's a lot of people who have confusion about what they're supposed to do with life. I know there's a lot of people who have confusion about this calling. They feel frustrated. They feel angry. They feel upset. And they're looking for contentment. They're looking for peace. They're looking for joy. They're looking for hope. And none of that is found in a place, but it's only found in a person. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to live a perfect life because we couldn't. Then died on a cross to pay a penalty we could never pay. And then he left a tomb empty to give us new life, to give us a calling, to give us a purpose that's beyond anything of our own. And there's a lot of people that need Jesus. And I believe that God's given us a clear vision. I believe he's given us incredible direction to do this. And it's simply to love people to a growing relationship with him. Love people to life change. And if we do this, he will grow his church. In Matthew 16, 18, it says this. It says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Jesus is saying that I will build my church. He's the one that does it. He says right here, he's the one that will build his church because Jesus can handle that pressure. We can't. We can't handle that part of the vision. But his will is that none will perish. So the vision's clear. We're called to love people to him. And he will build his church. When we try to build his church, this is where things get kind of messed up. This is where things get a little bit confused. Because it's his job. We're called to love people to life change. Another verse states it this way here in John 21, verses 15 through 17. And if you have a Bible, go there. We'll kind of stay there for the rest of the day. But John 21, 15 through 17. And I would say this, if you don't have a Bible, I would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. You can do that on your phone or tablet. You can have it wherever you go. But in this passage of Scripture, here's Jesus. This is after the tomb was empty. This is after he gave his life for us. And then he shows up and he talks to this guy named Peter. This is his disciple who had actually betrayed him 3 times. So he talks to this guy. And he basically rehabilitates him. He lifts him back up through love. And then he encouraged Peter to do the same thing to others. Check this out here in John 21, 15 through 17. It says, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied. 'You know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. And then a third time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus was asking this question a third time. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Here's Peter. Just denied Jesus 3 times. Like, I'm guessing that Peter probably wasn't feeling the best about himself. Like, he probably wasn't in a real good place right now. Like, he denied Jesus 3 times. Here he is. He denied this guy that 3 days later left a tomb empty. 3 days later, completed everything that he said he was going to be and beyond. And here's Peter, just probably bummed out, down, kicking himself because of what he did. And then Jesus comes and builds him up. And then he tells him to do the same thing to others. He says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." You know, the ones that are hungry, feed them. You know, the ones that feel betrayed, feed them. You know, the ones that are dirty,
feed them.
The ones that have issues, feed them. The ones that nobody else really looks and sees value in, feed them. The ones that are sickly, feed them. And we're called to feed a sheep. We're called to take care of a sheep. We're called to love his sheep, to love people to this growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is telling us, he says this. He says, I want you to care for the ones that I care about. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be clean. But it'll be worth your life. Because it's what I called you to do. Because transformation happens through love. Transformation happens through love. Peter experienced this, and many of us have experienced this as well. See, I love the story of Peter because I think many of us can relate to it. I know my story is very similar. About 10 years ago, I felt just like Peter. I mean, I was down and out. About 10 years ago, I was in a rough place. I was in a position where I just quit the ministry. I quit the ministry position I was at, and I felt like a complete failure. Here I was, had this position, and I let it define who I was. And I quit. I resigned from it. Felt like I let everybody down. I felt like I let my parents down. I mean, they're the ones that helped me pay for college, right, to do this. So I felt like I let them down. And I felt like I let these students down. I was a youth pastor at all these students. And what I do, I felt like I completely betrayed them. I felt like I completely walked away from them. I was completely just heartbroken for them. Like, I felt terrible. Felt like I let the church down. Here I was called to do this, and then something happened within it, and I couldn't. Like, so I felt like I completely let them down. Felt like I let my friends down. I felt like I let God down because he called me to do this, right? Felt like I had failed him. I felt like I let myself down. I mean, you saw the notes before, right? Like, I'm thinking my 15-year-old self just wanted to punch me square in the nose. Like, I felt completely just down and out. When I had lunch with this guy, he was a mentor of mine. We went out to lunch. And you know what I experienced? I experienced love. And that love transformed me. He took me to a place where he fed me, where he believed in me, where he loved me. And in turn, I felt that God could use me again, because of love. That love transformed. Your story may be the same, where you were down and out, but the only thing that changed it was that somebody showed you love. Or maybe you're here today and that's where you're at. Maybe you're down and out. Well, this is our prayer, is that we can be a church that shows you love. What if we did that? What would happen if we truly loved people to a growing relationship with Jesus? What would happen if we fed his sheep? Think about the barriers that would be broken. Think about the conflicts that would be resolved. Think about the forgiveness that people could receive and experience. What if, as Christians, what if things were a little bit different? What if, as Christians, we weren't seen as weird, judgmental, or closed-minded, but rather we were seen as open-hearted, if we were seen as giving, if we were seen as loving, right? What if we were seen as the life-giving hope to those who don't have hope? That's what love does. Love transforms people. And it would be so much more than just pushing our beliefs. It would be so much more than pushing our preferences. But it would allow for true transformation. Because I believe that Jesus didn't come for behavior modification. He came for heart transformation. And this is what happens. He allows us. He uses us when we love people. And he uses us to see true heart transformation. We're called to love people to life change. Don't confuse the call. And this is how we get there as a church. Here's some of our action steps. Number one is we're called to pray. I know it seems cliche, right? Here's your action step. Pray. You walk into a church, everybody tells you to do that. But if we learn from last series that what praying is, it's releasing God's will. And God's will is for people to know him. So we need to pray. And let me be a little more specific with this. As a church, this is what we need to do. We need to stop praying for more people, but start praying more for people. We need to pray for opportunities to love people. We need to intercede for people who are in pain. We need to intercede for people who have hurt. Because there's times where the most loving thing that we can do is to simply pray for someone. And not just say you're going to pray for them, but that actually pray for them. Like if you have a conversation with them, whether it's on the phone or whether it's face-to-face and you say you're going to pray with them, stop right there and pray with them right there. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is to pray. Number two is invite. We invite people with the way we treat them. We invite people with the way we act. We invite people with the way we respond, with the way we say things. How are we inviting people? How's our life look? Are we inviting people with the way we live? Number three is give. Now, when I say that, I'm not asking for anybody to give to the church. Now, obviously, it takes money to operate a church. It's not cheap. But when I say give, as Christians, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, we should be the most generous people. Because generosity, what is it? It's just an extension of love. So as Christians, we should be called to be the most generous people. And then number four is serve. To love people, we have to serve. We have to serve people where they're at. We have to find a need. We need to meet it. If you want to serve a Life Change Church, there's opportunities as well. Every Sunday you can do this. We can be a part of this team. There's so many different opportunities. In fact, we're structuring more serve teams a little bit differently so that we can create areas where we can love people more. We have a few holes, we have a few gaps that we need to fill as well. So if you want to be a part of it, jump in as well. But if the band would come up, you look at it when we're doing these things. When we're truly loving people to life change, what are we doing? We're feeding a sheep. I believe this is God's calling for all of us. I believe this is God's calling no matter where you are, no matter if it's in the workplace, no matter if it's in your family, no matter if it's in your church. We are called to feed his sheep. And if we are called Christians, if we call ourselves Christians, we all have a calling. We all have a calling to full-time ministry, whether that's in the church or the workplace. And what happens is when we live that calling out, we move from being a sheep to a shepherd. Don't confuse your calling. You would pull out your response card now. Everybody should have gotten one of those in your hand up. But we just want to end by giving you a chance to respond. If you don't have one, an usher can get those to you quickly. So just simply raise your hand and an usher will walk all the way here and kind of get to you as well. But maybe you're here today and maybe your calling's confused or maybe you just don't feel like you have a calling, right? Maybe you feel like you're just kind of spinning your wheels. Maybe God's tugging in your heart. Maybe your first step to that is having a relationship with him. Maybe you're here today and you've never started a relationship with him, or maybe you did, but you've walked away. If that's you, I want to give you that opportunity of a lifetime. I want to give you an opportunity of a lifetime to start that relationship with Jesus. And to start that moment. So if that's you, if you would, please check mark that first box that says you would like to make a commitment to follow Jesus today. And then believe that God loves you. Believe that God's chosen you to have a relationship with him, but he's chosen you for a purpose. And then receive that. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then receive his Holy Spirit to fulfill that work in your life. And then maybe you're here today and God's just asking you to go back to your calling. Maybe he's asking you to go back to the basics. Go back to the basics in your life where you first felt called to do that. Clear all the distractions, but go back to the basics. Or maybe he's calling you to quit comparing yourself. If that's you, write that down. Maybe he's calling you to partner with Life Change Church. Maybe he's calling you to partner with us through prayer, through inviting others, through praying, and through serving as well. If that's you, write that down. And then also there's a place for prayer requests. As the band begins to play, if you would, just take a couple moments to fill that response card out. And then the ushers will come up here shortly, and they'll collect those and collect any tithes or offerings as well. But let's take this moment to respond.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangedchurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.